On this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, I sit down with Andrew Keel to uncover affordable housing and great investor returns.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, where we provide you actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. During this episode, you're going to get to uncover affordable housing and great investor returns. Now, for those of you who are new, I'm your host, Neil Timmons. I love passive income from real estate. Before I introduce you to today's Maverick, I want to make a request that at any point you like what you hear, give us a thumbs up. Be certain to subscribe to the show. Never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you hear, well, give us a written review. Plus, be sure to look at the description of this episode. We packed it with thousands of dollars in free resources. Now, today we've got the privilege to learn from a person who's been involved in thousands of mobile home pads at his point in real estate. Now, prior to moving into mobile homes, he was in the wholesaling side of single family homes. It ultimately all changed when he stumbled into the mobile home park business, the actual owning of parks, not just mobile homes themselves. I would describe today's Maverick as someone who's passionate about providing affordable housing to those here in the Midwest. Today's Maverick, I've got Andrew Keel here with me. Andrew, welcome to the show. Say, for the audience's sake, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Yeah, my name's Andrew Keel. I'm from Orlando, Florida, and I invest in value-add mobile home parks across the Midwest.
Across the Midwest. This could be a fun conversation here today, given the fact that I sit in the Midwest and you leave your sunshine state to come do some business here. Say, take me back to the very beginning. Tell me about the very first mobile home park deal that you bought.
Very first one, I got it through cold calling. I found an owner that lived in Missouri. He owned a mobile home park just outside of St. Louis, and it was 67 lots. There was 8 vacant lots, and then there was, I think, 12 park-owned homes. So we came in, we submetered the water and billed that back to the tenants. We filled the vacant lots and turned the park-owned homes into tenant-owned homes, and then refinanced 21 months after purchasing it and returned all the initial capital.
Incredible. What year was that?
It was 2017, so a few years ago.
Take me or bring me current. Talk to me about the most recent deal that you guys have done or are doing right now.
Yeah, so since that time, we've done, over 30 syndications where we're raising money from individual investors and then fragmenting ownership, sharing ownership with the group. We have 2,500 lots, 2,500 mobile home park lots across 41 parks. And we have a deal right now we just finished raising money for that is in the Detroit, Michigan MSA. And it's 166 lots. There are 50 vacant park-owned homes. And that's a big part of the value add is submetering the water and sewer and billing that back and then renovating and selling the vacant park-owned homes to take the value from $3.5 million to well over $5 million. So that's the plan.
Wow, that's incredible. You're coming up on closing here within just a couple of weeks, aren't you?
Yeah, December 21st, fingers crossed, trying to take advantage of that 80% bonus depreciation in 2023.
Yeah, that's incredible. So between 2017 and now, I mean, you have done a ton, tremendous amount of closings and experiences along the way. What are some of the top two or three lessons that you learned along the way inside the space?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is the market matters, right? And you want to buy in a market that has diverse employment. We bought one park that was in a town, a small town, and had one big employer. It was a Smithfield Farms pork processing plant. And after COVID, they downsized and then are eventually phasing that out. And that was like a big employer that had like 2,000 employees. So you want to buy in a diverse area. It sounds like a given, but in the Midwest, you know, a lot of the jobs may be, there might not be a single large employer. It might be a lot of, you know, small 200, 300 employee employers. So that was one big takeaway. Due diligence is so important on mobile home parks. We also own some self-storage. It couldn't be more different, right? The utility infrastructure, there's just so much that goes into it. A lot of the mobile home parks are over 50 years old. So you're dealing with fragile water lines and sewer lines and that infrastructure. You need to know during due diligence what you're getting into, and having a reserve budget to take care of repairs is so important. So that's really important. And then number three, I would say prioritize the deal over the money, right? The money will come if you find a good deal. In my early days, I spent a lot of time just worried about, oh, where am I going to find the money? You know, where am I going to find the investors to partner with me to take this down? And really every deal that I've done, if the numbers worked and it was a good deal, the money came, and that was the easiest part of the deal.
Wow, incredible. So tell me, when there's a ton of mobile home parks naturally that exist, but what makes, out of all those call them opportunities, for lack of a better word, what makes an actual deal a deal versus just an opportunity?
Yeah, upside, right? In any commercial asset, we're looking for upside. We're looking for room to raise rents, the ability to bill back utilities. Typically, mobile home parks can run at around a 35 to 45% expense ratio. And if we buy a park with a 45% expense ratio and we bill back the water, sewer, and trash, we're able to save 10%. We'll drop that down to a 35% expense ratio right away, which is a considerable savings depending on what the cap rate is that based on the asset we're buying. So we're looking at that. We're looking at vacant lots. We're looking at renovating vacant park-owned homes, and then common area, redoing the roads, adding landscaping and signage and fencing, those type of things to add value. But you know, ultimately, that's what we're looking at. Public utilities is a big one. If you're completely foreign to the mobile home park investing space, you know, I wouldn't go into investing in something with private utilities like a well or septics or a lagoon or wastewater treatment plant. That's like the high level, Neil, of where I would start.
When somebody, a passive investor, is looking at an opportunity, what types of things should they be giving consideration to, both from a general partner side of this, and then second, after that passes the test, then into the deal side of things?
Yeah, I mean, track record is everything. So I was listening to an autobiography this morning on Charlie Munger, and he's like, I just want to hire someone that's done it before. I'm not going to invest in a young up-and-comer that could be. I want to invest in people that have done it before, CEOs that have had proven success. So I think that's really important, is if they've done deals like this previously, they will likely be successful. You know, I interviewed someone from my podcast, which we talk about only mobile home park investing. Yeah. And someone has purchased 20 mobile home parks, but they've only infilled 10 mobile homes to fill vacant lots. So if they're going to be taking on a new project and infilling 50 mobile homes, that's going to be new to them. You're going to be paying them to get educated. Where if you invest in someone that's done this before, they're going to have systems and processes more than likely that they should yield to better results.
Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com. How are you borrowing in today's environment?
Yeah, so typically we'll use a regional lender, credit union type of lender upon acquisition, and that'll be a five-year term usually. And what our whole goal is we're buying these things, we're adding value in the first 2 years, and then we're going to the agency financing. We're going to Freddie or Fannie to refinance into that long-term 10-year fixed rate debt. That's really been our entire business model, is buy with a local bank, refinance into agency financing.
What attracted you to this asset class? You could buy anything, right? Why mobile home parks?
Great question. My story is kind of unique. I kind of fell into it. I started investing in individual trailers. I was flipping houses on the side, And then I got a deal through a bandit sign call or a yellow letter, something I mailed out when I was wholesaling single family. And it was a deal to buy two individual mobile homes about an hour away from where I live. So I went up and I bought these homes, got on YouTube. There's a guy named Lonnie Scruggs that wrote a book, Deals on Wheels. And it was really a low cost way to get into being a landlord, right? To buy the homes, you fix them up and then sell them on contract to an end buyer and creating mailbox money. So I think I paid $2,200 for two mobile homes. And that was back in 2015. And then I sold them for like $2,500 down and $250 a month for 5 years. So that's how I started. And then I just remember thinking, wow, the demand for these things when I went to go sell them with those terms was off the charts. So that really hooked me in. And I met a park owner who eventually took me under his wing and kind of taught me the syndication model and that I didn't need all the money myself to buy these bigger assets. But yeah, I think the cash flow, I'm a cash flow investor. I'm not looking for huge appreciation. I'm looking in those secondary, tertiary, Midwestern markets that are maybe growing a little bit or maybe staying the same, but they just need affordable housing desperately because developers aren't building that in those areas.
Yeah. Tell me about your communication plan for back to investors for those. You've done 30 of these plus at this point. How do you keep folks up to date?
Yeah, we update every quarter, and that's where our distributions are before refinance. And then after refinance, we typically move to monthly distributions and still do quarterly updates. But the updates are pretty simple. We do four metrics and we just do a couple sentences on each. And basically that's revenues versus expected revenues, expenses versus expected, NOI versus expected, actuals versus expected, and then distributions versus expected. Just give a couple sentences on why and how we got there. And we've noticed that that suffices. Most of our LPs don't have many questions after reading those.
Well, I suspect when you keep things on the straight and narrow, keep them on the path moving forward, there's not a lot that you have to explain, is there?
There shouldn't be, but we've run into hurdles that we've made mistakes in the early days where we missed stuff. And so I think it's just, did we learn from that and did we change our processes? And yes, we have, but I think that's what makes us different, right? Is that track record and experience.
You mentioned earlier park-owned homes. I know a number of investors who in your space who avoid parks were park-owned homes. I know a number of investors who, you know, wish every single one would be a park-owned home. And then certainly there's the folks in between. I guess, what's your perspective on that? And from an investor standpoint, what are the things from a limited partner, you know, how does that impact your world in terms of management and all the things that go into that?
Yeah, great question. I think there's two different ways to look at it. Our model is the tenant-owned home model. We want to just rent the dirt underneath of the homes because when the mobile home owners home, they'll have more pride of ownership and they also will be stickier, right? They're not going to move as much because their monthly payment is so low to be there, you know, on average around $350 a month. So that's our whole model. We figure that's more scalable and it has been. I think our turnover on our tenant-owned homes is less than 5% annually. Where the park-owned homes, when we're renting them or we're selling them on contract, it's like a flat apartment complex and you're going to have repairs and maintenance. And mobile homes aren't built the same as single family homes. You know, it's different sized doors and windows and drywall. So renovating them can be a struggle if you don't have a good local maintenance or handyman type of guy. So I'm a big fan of tenant-owned homes.
We're recording this, as you said, December of 23. So looking forward in 2024, what are you most excited about?
Most excited about, geez, I think I'm most excited about, man, seeing what interest rates do. Obviously, it's been a tough year. Our deal volume's probably 50% of what it was a few years ago. So there's talk about interest rates going down a little bit. Who knows what happens? I'm not betting on that. But if they do, it would be nice. But some of the owners that we're talking to are just unrealistic with their pricing expectations. They want to sell and they would sell, but we're just not able to meet the pricing with interest rates being 8.5%, which is what we got quoted today from one of our regional banks. So if those move a little bit, I think it should open up some capital to flow.
Yeah, a lot of sellers in with price points only made sense 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call the final four. What do you think holds most passive investors back from hitting their personal next level, whatever that happens to be?
Let's say analysis paralysis. They know enough, but they don't act. Yeah. And I think that that holds a lot of passive investors back. I think also they have an urge to do it themselves and they want to buy a single family home and get $350 a month in cash flow when they could have invested in a 50 unit mobile home park and diversified a bigger deal and gotten maybe more than $350 being completely passive. And so they buy that single family home thinking that that's going to be the end all, be all, and they only have one tenant and they have a lot of CapEx expenses, right, that come up throughout the year. So I think that holds them back.
Your passion outside of real estate?
Triathlons. I do a couple 70.3 Ironman triathlons every year. We travel to beautiful places. I did one in Chattanooga, did one in Augusta, and just love doing those.
Your favorite book?
Favorite book. Geez. I just read one for you when I'm gone, and it's a morbid one, but it's 12 questions to ask to write a letter to your kids when you're gone, like what you want them to know. And it just resonated with me because legacy is one of my core values, is building that and making sure that the next generation is somewhat prepared or trying. And I have three little ones. So reading that and putting that ethical will together was powerful for me.
Your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Food bank. My family, every quarter, we donate time and money there. And that's just been, I think, local, and building the local community matters a lot to me versus in donating to a nationwide or a global cause. So that's been valuable for us.
Yeah. Andrew, this has been a great conversation. We've scratched the surface naturally. I know you're a world of knowledge, given the wide breadth of experience that you have. For people, they want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to connect with you, they want to plug into the podcast. Where can they go? What should they do?
Yeah, the best way would be on the website, which is keelteam.com. You'll find our podcast there. You'll find my social media handles. So yeah, we'd love to connect. We JV with people that bring us deals, and we also raise capital for syndications.
Links below in the show notes for everybody. Andrew, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
You bet. To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.